James Shepherd, one of the influences on my life, killed many a 9-volt battery falling asleep while he was on from 10:15 to 11 p.m. on WORAM, passed away in 1999, and a big fan of his has been moved to write a book. And the author, Eugene Bergman, is kind enough to come to air. Eugene, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, boy, from far away Long Island. Welcome to BAI.
Thank you.
Or as some Shep fans would say, Excelsior, you fathead. What exactly, where did that come from?
Well, of course, that's the name of my book, Excelsior, you fathead, but, the art of Gene Shepherd. And Shepherd loved words. He loved quirky-sounding words, words that made you laugh, and words that made you think. So Excelsior was one of his favorite words, and in a variation was Excelsior, you fathead. Now, Excelsior means sort of, depending on how you want to feel about it or translate it, something like higher or upward or ever onward and upward.
And it is the motto of New York State.
Yes. Apparently, the current motto is the Empire State, but it, the traditional motto for New York was indeed Excelsior. And Excelsior, you fathead, has this sense of, well, let us carry on and go onward and upward throughout, no matter what happens to us. And Shepherd really believed that this sort of wide-eyed innocence was foolish or silly.
Or optimistic.
Let's say overly optimistic as far as he was concerned. So to say Excelsior, you fathead, to somebody, the fathead was an affectionate use of the word. Like you might say to somebody who's a good friend, oh, you fool, you, don't you know such and such? So you say Excelsior, you fathead, with a sense of caring about the person, but yet also saying, hey, you know, it's kind of silly to say everything is going to be just wonderful when we really know that it's not quite that great.
But the reply to that is seltzer bottle?
Seltzer bottle,
yes. Why is that?
Well, one of the things that I tried to figure out, and sometimes you really don't know exactly why somebody comes up with something, but my idea is simply the whole idea of Excelsior. Excelsior is a silly one, and seltzer bottle, seltzer, has that same sort of sound of Excelsior, and I think of seltzer bottle in connection with a clown who points one at you and squirts you in the face. So I think of seltzer bottle as just kind of a continuation of this rather silly and absurd idea of Excelsior.
Is it similar to the No Soap Radio?
Possibly. I don't know. As I say, nobody quite knows on some of these things exactly what Shep had in mind, but that's my interpretation.
Did you ever meet him?
Yes, I did. I talked to him once on the phone way, way back in the early days, in the mid to late 50s. He would occasionally take a phone call while there were commercials on or a news break. And I can't remember what I said or he said, but he was very polite. I remember that, and I was very nervous. But the one time I actually met him face-to-face is when I went to one of his gatherings. And this was after his book, I, Libertine, had come out, by the way, one of the great hosts of the 20th century. And I had my paperback copy, and I asked him to sign it, which he did. And I still have my copy. In fact, it's right in front of me here as we speak. And I took a photo of him signing it, and I still have that, too.
Did he look the way he sounds?
Well, I think people tend to have a picture of him depending on in their minds, depending on when they first heard him and are familiar with him. I've seen so many different pictures of him at different times that I don't know what other people's view of him is as far as what he looked like. I kind of picture him in his younger broadcast days in the late 50s, but I'm one of the old-time listeners.
When you mean old-time listeners?
Well, many people that I talk to or who are connected with their interest in Shepard only started hearing him way in the later days of the 60s or even the 70s, while I listened to him starting in 1956. In fact, I have some of the earliest tapes ever made of his broadcasts.
Do you see a development in his style, his radio craft?
While there were definite changes, my impression of the early days, he started out speaking for hours and hours on end. This was back in 56 through around 58 or 59. And he was very much jazz-oriented. He was very interested in jazz. He knew a lot of jazz performers. He emceed programs.
Yeah.
And he had a very loose, extemporaneous style. He improvised in the same way that a jazz musician would improvise around a theme. And his early shows back in the 50s, being on late at night, he could afford to just kind of lay back and talk in a very casual stream of consciousness way. As time went on and his program got shorter, ultimately to 45 minutes that most people are familiar with, he still had some of this feeling, but he began to tighten up a little bit. So I think he had more of a sense of what he was going to say. He never had a script. That's one of the fascinating things about him. But I think he just tightened it up a bit because he was on earlier in the evening. He had a shorter time period. He couldn't just what people might call ramble, but he wouldn't. So I think there was a difference. And in fact, some of although my favorite is the early stuff, he did some masterpieces later in the 60s and 70s. And in fact, I quote one of them extensively in the book about the JFK assassination. When he came on and started talking about the assassination weekend and what had happened. And as always, Shepard would relate things that he talked about to his overall themes, and he had many different themes. And he talked about the problems of the idea of democracy and you can do what you want and I'm for me first sort of idea that he felt that many people had. So he related the assassination to some problems that he felt were current in America in the early 60s. And it's just an absolute masterpiece. It's a beautifully wrought elegy.
My colleague, Claude Horvath, is clinging to the microphone with a question.
Yeah, well, basically, I'm just curious, your Excelsior, you fathead. It's a hard title to say. I feel like I'm saying it to the author. I don't mean it that way. I'm wondering, like, is it more about his work and, like, the sources of that really incredible talent he had versus his life? I mean, what I'm thinking is that these stories that he told, a lot of the characters were fictional.
Yes.
But with the rudiments of it, the fundamental material he was working with, did that have any relation to Indiana?
Well, obviously some of it did and some of it didn't. And one of the interesting things is you really don't know in many instances what did and what didn't. One of his stories, the one upon which the movie A Christmas Story is based, has the title of Duel in the Snow, or Red Rider Nails the Cleveland Street Kid. Well, Gene Shepard grew up on Cleveland Street in Hammond. So there is a definite connection. The name of the family in that movie and in many of Shepard's stories was the Parker family. Well, Gene Shepard's middle name is Parker. His full name is Gene Parker Shepard. There were many, many things that he took from his real life, but he insisted that that indeed he was making it all up. So I think it's somewhere in between. And my book is not a biography. It's a book trying to explain and explore and show instances of why I believe that Gene Shepard was a genius in radio and an extreme talent in his other work, in his writing, his television and movie work. He was just an incredible, unique person in the 20th century.
Well, Eugene, we have a very diverse listenership here, people who speak languages that I can't even pronounce.
Kyrgyz, for example.
Well, I could pronounce that easily, but I mean other languages where I have to click in the back of my throat. If we have a literary agent or a publisher who's a Gene Shepard fan, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, I would be absolutely delighted to hear from them. My email address is ebbergmann, E-E-R-G-M-A-N-N, you got to get that second N in there, at AOL.com. So I'm ready and available. I think the book has a tremendous potential, not only among Shepard fans, but I really feel that people interested in humor, take a look at in your bookstore under the humor section and see all the books by and about humorists. People interested in the nature of radio, the nature of social commentary, the nature of what American culture is about.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things are aspects of Gene Shepard's work. And there are things that I discuss in detail, chapter by chapter.
How many chapters do you have?
Ooh, I have, I have about 18 chapters. And I talk about his growing up. Have a Tough to Be a Kid is the title of a chapter of him growing up in the Midwest. There's a chapter on his Army life.
His
early radio, his, you know, what he felt about humor. He felt he was not a comedian, he was a humorist, and I discuss what the difference is, what he felt the difference was. So I go on to quite a variety of different aspects of his work.
Well, Eugene, the clock is our enemy. Eugene Bergman, author of, well, the working title, Excelsior, You Fathead. I was looking for a publisher, so your email address once again?
E.B. Bergman. That's E.B.B.E.R.G.M.A.N.N. at AOL.com.
Eugene, do you know that we actually play Shepard here? Max Schmid, who was kind enough to provide contact information so I could bring you to air.
I certainly do. He's, I really appreciate all he does for Shepard and for him making this contact.
And what time in the morning is that on?
Well, his Mass Backwards program starts way before I wake up, but the Shepard part starts at 5:15 on Tuesday mornings.
That's the old WOR tape. Well, thank you, Eugene, and best of luck in finding a publisher.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. Be well. And a special shout out and thank you to Max Schmid for doing a yeoman's job in helping put this show together as many